going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FCN. I'm your host, Chris Meaney. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. This is another NFL draft edition, and I'm fired up. We couldn't get together on Friday, but we're here on Monday. It is draft week, of course, just a couple of days away, and I know this guy has been making lots of bets and just waiting for this week to come. It is Elliot Chris, our chief operating officer at FTN. We have all kinds of great content over at FTNbets.com, and a lot of it here is from our guy, Elliot, here. Elliot, man, you have put up so much great content over the past couple of weeks. I know you're completely in tune with this draft. You've been following it, making bets now for the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks, I'd like to say. But, dude, you have a good dozen articles, a lot of them free over at FTNbets.com. You've been making the rounds over the past week, jumping on all the shows. So I'm super thankful for you to be able to take the time here today. Welcome, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. First and foremost, there's a 0% chance I wasn't coming on this show one way or another. I love, you know, shooting the shit with you, Meanie. It's always a great time. I even shaved my face for this. That is a very rare appearance. My fiance just thanked me for that. She's told me I look gross. So, you know, you get the star treatment. So I'm pumped. Yeah, I've been bent. I mean, the first NFL draft ever available this offseason was Mac Jones over under 18.5. So that was my first one. I think 7 weeks ago, I got Jamar. I obviously took the under on that one. I have Jamar Chase sitting at -155 to be the first receiver. That's now -1,000. I've got Zach Wilson -180 to be the second pick in the draft. That's now -5,000. So it's great when you feel like you got a lot of winners in the bag before you even get started. But the market moves a ton, and it's been a blast to track it and bet it the last 7 weeks. And this is one of my favorite weeks because now everyone has more interest in it than ever before. But yeah, I got, I think, 14 articles now up on FTN Bets, and every single one of them are free. I dropped 3 new ones today with how to bet the second tier quarterbacks, favorite long shot bets, and favorite day two bets. So trying to cover basically whatever you want to bet on the NFL draft, I think I wrote it up for you.
I think you did, yeah. I was just telling you off air, one of my buddies was looking for some prop bets and some just from info. He wanted to sprinkle a couple, you know, here north of the border, and I sent him one of your articles, and I said, just scroll to the bottom two when you're done, and you'll see the link to all the other articles. And he was like, wow, this is absolutely awesome. You're right. So today you got the tier two quarterbacks that you mentioned, the NFL draft odds movement. You got the happy hour show. Obviously, you know, some things have changed, and we'll touch on that in just a little bit with you, Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe. You got the NFL draft odds, best player props. You got the Tipico tips, 3 draft bets to make. And of course, make sure you check out Tipico.com. You got the $750 first deposit match over there. Top props, long shot bets. You got 2 of them, 2 articles, landing spots. And this was honestly my favorite part of what you've done over the past couple of weeks, betting the mock, part one, part two. You went through every team, what you thought was going to happen. And also at the bottom, you'd say, this is the way to bet it. It doesn't make sense to bet it like this. This would be the way to bet it. I thought it was like super helpful, very creative and great tips. And then NFL draft bets, also other quarterbacks in there, day two bets to make, which you alluded to as well. So lots of great stuff over at FTNbets.com. If you've been following Elliot, you know this already, one of the sharpest NFL bettors in the biz. So lots of content. I know things have gone in your favor as well, like you just talked about a couple there. So you've been ahead of it. We have the bets guide over at ftnbets.com/pricing, $19.99, and an extensive NFL scouting guide over at ftnfantasy.com/pricing. Let's get after today. I wanted to talk to you about San Fran, of course. They're in the news, and you hear the reports this morning, Julio, they're listening on, Atlanta's listening on Julio. Intrigued with what they're going to do at 4, with what Cincy is going to do, but what everybody is talking about is San Fran. Geez, Elliot, 6 weeks ago, I just thought San Fran, they needed a quarterback. I thought the second quarterback off the board would be Fields. Now I'm seeing like 10-1 in the 3 spots. When you were together with Jeff and Brad at the happy hour, the odds I saw from Tipico was Fields +162 to be the third pick, Jones -150, and Lance +250. Now it seems, according to reports, that it's just between Jones and Lance. What do you think they'll do, and what do you think they should do?
Well, this is actually a really good question, because what I think they should do doesn't really matter when it comes to betting the draft, and it's one of the ways that people get in trouble the most. It's like, everyone's like, they should take Justin Fields. Well, that's great that you feel that way, but unless Kyle Shanahan is calling you and asking you for advice, it's not really relevant. right? It's not like betting on an NFL game where you're like, I really think the Chiefs are not getting enough points here, right? There, Vegas isn't respecting them. Like, there is no respecting and disrespecting NFL draft props because it's all based on what NFL teams are going to do, right? So I think that's really important. I think they should take Justin Fields, but right now I think they will take Trey Lance. I think there's a lot of smoke around Mac Jones. I think there's a couple signs that point to Lance. The first being the fact that a lot of the reports are that the Falcons are probably not going to trade down and look like they're going to take Kyle Pitts. And there are multiple reports that Trey Lance was actually the Falcons guy. So you start to do that math that the Falcons are looking to stay put and take Kyle Pitts. That math kind of starts to add up. And you mentioned the Julio Jones stuff. Julio's been potentially on the trade block all offseason long. It's funny how we pick and choose when to get all excited about it. And ultimately, he's probably going to get traded for a late two, early three pick just because he's a 32-year-old receiver with a monster contract. So I don't necessarily know how much it'll shake up the draft. And Kyle Pitts is a great weapon for a young quarterback, right? He doesn't turn 20 till October 6th. I think that the betting way to attack the third pick is now basically not bet it. I think it's basically all the value of Lance. I got him at plus 450 on MGM about a week ago. That's completely gone. I'm not laying minus 300 on Mac Jones to be the third overall pick. I understand that, you know, it's very popular to say he shouldn't go third, and I agree with that, but that doesn't mean he's not in the conversation. So I think that you kind of just pass on it and you start to look elsewhere down the line. So I would rather, instead of Mac Jones minus 300, right, I'd probably look to just start moving down the board and say, instead of risking three to win one, why don't I have three bets separately to win one unit across the board, right? You know, 3-1 unit bets. So it's not a popular response because everyone wants to bet the third pick, but betting the right line, I think, is how you have positive expected value long term and become a winning bettor. So it's as important to know what not to bet as it is what to bet.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And that's kind of why I phrased that question like that, because, you were just talking to Pat Mayo, and I've heard you say this a couple times, that it's not about what you think teams will do. There's multiple scenarios and things that have happened in the past where it's made a lot of people, yourself, myself, other people who just maybe follow football loosely, like, why the hell did that just happen? Teams, I think, should trade back. Not a lot of teams are doing it. I think Miami, what they've done over the past couple of years, it's like they're playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers. I just like the way that they've attacked the draft and gotten some picks, and now they're back up there picking in that number six spot. So I think that's great. I think Fields is the number two quarterback. I've always thought he's the number two quarterback here in this draft. I don't fully get it. I don't understand. If the Pats are going to move up and grab him at 10 or whatever, then good on them. I think they're going to get a great quarterback. I've talked myself into Lance a little bit, that I like him. I think he's a bit of a project. It's all about Shanahan's offense. I think you can make a case for a lot of these guys to be good inside that offense. Mac Jones is obviously a very accurate quarterback, but Lance, a mobile quarterback, you know, when he was with Atlanta and they were in the Super Bowl, Shanahan, that is, they didn't have a mobile quarterback and they didn't get the job done. And when he was in the Super Bowl with San Fran against a mobile quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, he got burned in the end. So I don't know if it's just about getting a pocket passer. I think he'd like to, I think that a guy like Lance, honestly, I think Fields would be the guy, but a guy like Lance, I think maybe, I think I'd lean him a little bit more than Jones, but who knows what they're going to do.
Two points to that. One is absolutely, and it helps that they have Jimmy Garoppolo and they wouldn't have to necessarily start Lance. Sure. And could let him develop him some because he's raw, right? And the other thing is, I think one of the worst points that people make is like, Kyle Shanahan had Matt Schaub, therefore he'd want Mac Jones. Like, do you really think Kyle Shanahan loved Matt Schaub? Like, he was like 15 years later, he's like, oh man, what I really need to do is reincarnate Matt Schaub and then my offense can hit its ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes we try to pick and choose coaches' former players into profile. I'm like, even a Matt Ryan, did Kyle Shanahan really pick him or was he just his quarterback? Right. Right. Like when the Shanahans were in Washington, they tried to unlock RG3. And when he was healthy, they did. Now, they didn't get along with the personality that is RG3. But that's not really said to be who Trey Lance or Justin Fields is. So I think we kind of pick and choose when certain narratives match the bet we want to make. And it's a very dangerous game to play.
Yeah, it really is. I agree. I think Lance is a bit of a project. Maybe you got one more year there of Jimmy, but I also don't think Jimmy is the answer. But man, a lot of weapons there and a bright coach, right? Yeah, I could see him now. Yeah, you know, Lynch, he does kind of remind me of Schwab. Yeah, you know, we should take him. Let's just grab him. Yeah, we had a lot of success with him back in the day. No chance. Okay, the other team here, Cincy. I just wanted to get your thoughts on. And again, this is another thing. I think that they should take Sewell. Like, I really do. I'm a big believer. You know, D-Bro was on here last week, and we chatted about how important offensive lines are. And Joe Burrow getting sacked more than anybody in the first part of the season, obviously coming off the injury. I know that it would be fun to have a Pitts or have a Chase inside that offense, and what they did at LSU, and then T. Higgins and Boyd. It would be a very fun offense, but I think you need to protect your franchise quarterback. I look back, and I don't want to compare this, but it was a few years ago when, and the Colts offensive line is strong now. It's one of the best in football. They've actually done a good job over the past couple of years bolstering that offensive line. But do you remember in the first round a few years ago when they took Philip Dorsett? Instead of taking an offensive lineman or just helping out Andrew Luck, and now Andrew Luck is watching football games on the couch and they have to deal with Carson Wentz there. But again, same sort of question. What do you think Cincy is going to do at five, and have you made any bets there with that pick?
Yeah, so I've made a lot of bets with this pick. I have Chase under 6.5 for 2 units, and then I bought 1 unit back at the over 5.5, basically getting 3-1 on Miami. I also got Chase to the Bengals at plus 170 and put money on that as well. So nice. Essentially what I heard was that Sewell was going to be the pick. I think Sewell should be the pick. Anytime your star quarterback's leg was barely attached to his body, I think you probably want to fix that situation. But that ownership stepped in and that the pick is going to be Chase, and it's like basically known around the league. And, you know, one of the things that I heard that happened basically last week, and it coincided with about 3 hours later, the Miami Dolphins are now shopping the 6th pick. And that makes more sense for me with Lance going third again, because if Lance goes third, then the Falcons lose their quarterback. Now they're going Pitts. The Bengals go Chase, and the Dolphins are looking at 6 and saying, man, we traded up to 6 because we thought Sewell was going to go 5, okay, right? And we thought we were going to get one of Pitts or Chase, and now we're not. And now they're like, we overpaid, right? So I think a lot of that kind of coincides with each other. So again, I would pick Sewell. I am very confident the pick is going to end up being Chase.
Wow. Well, I mean, they're going to get a heck of a wide receiver if that's the case, but I'm with you. I would pick Sewell as well. Okay, so let's dig a little bit deeper. I was taking a look at your best props, and I think you tweeted this morning about J.C. Horn when you had mentioned it here in the article, ftmbets.com. Again, free content, people. No need to not check this out. 13.5 under, you had minus 110 Tipico. This is a bet that looks like it's heading in your favor here, in your direction.
Yeah, it's dropped to 12.5 a lot of places. It's up to minus 200 at 13.5. The Chargers are said to be very high on him. The Eagles are said to be very high on him. He's top three on the Giants board. The Cowboys, I know everyone has them going Surtain, and that's definitely a very strong possibility. But I heard that organization is split between him and Horn. The Broncos love Horn. The Panthers love Horn. And there are a couple teams behind them that everyone knows they love Horn, and they're going to try to trade up and come get him. You look at a guy who's 6 foot plus, you know, that 200-pound, 4'4", 40 with press man skills, with great ball skills, with that NFL pedigree as well. Whether or not that matters that the NFL is in your blood, it matters to some of these old school scouts and everything else, right? Joe Horn is his dad. I think there's a good chance he ends up as the first defender in the draft. I think there's a very, very, very high chance he goes top 12 in this draft. So I'm in on J.C. Horn's under in this on Thursday.
What do you think some of these teams do? Like Detroit, a wide receiver, I would assume. Carolina could go offensive tackle. Denver, a quarterback. They could also go corner too. Elliot, you mentioned Dallas needing a corner. The Giants reports that maybe they could trade back, but there's a lot of maybe interest in a wide receiver there, a Smith or a Waddle. And then Philly, same kind of deal, right? Like they need a corner as well. Like if there is a team here to trade back, who would it be? Do you think?
I mean, I think the Dolphins could trade back depending on what they get if a team would pay up for a quarterback. One of the things that hurts the Dolphins is one of the teams that might be most likely to trade up for a quarterback is the Patriots. And do you really want to give the Patriots potentially their franchise quarterback, right? I think Washington's in a similar tough spot with 10, 11, 12 being three straight picks in their division, right? They have to go all the way up to 9. I think the Lions are the most likely team to trade back. One, they stink, right? So you're not competing anytime soon. I think they are tied with the Texans for the lowest win total next year. Mm-hmm. Two, there could be quarterbacks, potentially Sewell could be there, and you could get like a nice price tag, or maybe a team really wants to go up and get Horn. And three, they have an analytics driven general manager. They just spent a lot of money on that department, which screams trade down, right? So I think they're in a very strong position to trade down, especially if Sewell falls. If not, then maybe Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields, two of those guys are on the board. Maybe they only have to trade down to 9. Maybe they trade down to 15 or 16 to the Cardinals, who have been incredibly aggressive this offseason. I think they're the most likely team in the top 7 to trade down at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So again, I would encourage everybody to check out ftmbets.com for Elliot's articles, the free prop shop over at ftmbets.com, parlay calculator, all the goods there. So when you were putting together this Bet the Mock, like I honestly, I'm not just saying this because you're on here. I am a huge fan of the way you put this together. I mean, you just don't see this. You see mocks across the board. I know you've been following them. I'm following them. I'm seeing other mocks. Some obviously are clickbait, and that last mock that they put out in this week is I guess a true feel of how they feel, but nobody's doing this, man. Like, best way to bet odds with everything. Like, first of all, how'd you come up with this idea? And second, like, what are some major takeaways that you have when you put this together? Maybe, I don't know if it changed when you were putting it together, like on the fly, and you're doing all your research and you're writing it, and then all of a sudden, like, maybe you get to pick 22 and you're like, I didn't think that this would be a bet that I would be interested in. Any major takeaways from when you put this together?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of takeaways. First and foremost, I did it because I didn't see it out there.
Right.
Like, I used to really study prospects, and that was kind of my angle on the draft. But then I realized that it was one of the best money-making opportunities, and have really shifted my focus to that. So I did something like this on social media last year, and it got a fair amount of traction. I was like, why don't I just write up every single pick? Because I get questions all the time, and I think people take the wrong approach. A great example is with pick 3, when people were betting – you know, Justin Fields at, let's say, plus 115 to be the third overall pick, right, when he became the favorite. Well, it was Mac. There was also Mac Jones over 3.5 at plus 200. It's like, why not get both quarterbacks instead of just Justin Fields, right? Try to cover myself for as many outs. Like, instead of taking Kyle Pitts under 5.5 at minus 115, take Kyle Pitts over to the Falcons at plus 160. Same thing with Chase. Like, they were offering Chase at plus 175 to the Bengals, but his over-under was 5.5 at minus 115. He wasn't going to the Falcons, right? And he wasn't – sure as hell wasn't going top three. So if he was going top five, it was to the Bengals. And, you know, the other great thing about doing the mock from a betting perspective is it really teaches you four guys to go in certain ranges – certain dominoes need to fall, right? So right. You start to really understand the different scenarios, and you're trying to play out the most likely. And what you're really trying to do when you bet a draft is you're trying to understand, you're trying to get as many outs as possible, right? So like, if I take Devontae Smith under 11.5 right now, but I'm saying, well, the only shot he really has without a trade is the Giants. Like, why would I not just take the Giants at plus 400, right? Like, you're trying to understand all these different scenarios. And I think the other one that really helps is kind of the long shots and teams to draft certain positions and understanding where runs might go, you know, and helping understand kind of where guys' floors are. Like, Vera Tucker was 17.5, for example. And he's considered a hands-down top four offensive line prospect in this draft, potentially top three, right? And then the Chargers, Vikings, and Raiders are all favored to take offensive linemen, while the Dolphins are said to be very hot on him at 18. So you're like, oh man, I got three very realistic outs there, plus teams who want offensive line help know 18 is the spot and might look to trade up ahead of that, right? And the later in the draft you get, the more outs, the more likely trades are, because it's just, you don't have to mortgage your future as much to move up from, say, 23 to 17 as you do from 12 to 6, right? It's just a different scenario. So you start to really understand how the dominoes fall. You start to understand why long shot bets might make certain sense. You start to actually be able to put numbers on different things. So you say, okay, so there's probably like a 20% chance this guy is available here. Oh man, if this guy's available here, this team is likely to take him, right? And they're, right, you know, they're sitting at looking at that position at plus 1200. Oh boy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of value there. Start to get a sense of, you know, how, like, I think Micah Parsons is a great example where I think he's going to fall. I think the only team that might take him top 11 is the Giants, because the Giants do dumb things. But if he goes beyond that, I think it could be 17 or as late as 19 to Washington, which then just starts to push other linebackers down the board as well, right? Like once a run, if it takes a while for a run to get started, it tends to impact everybody's over-unders and, you know, how many linebackers get drafted and all that kind of stuff. So you really just start to run through the scenarios and understand that there's a lot of valuable ways to bet on the draft and get a better number than the standard way that most people look at.
Yeah, and Parsons is interesting. He opened up, what, like 11.5? And there's some off-field issues with him too, right? Is that part of why you think he could potentially drop?
Yeah, so he opened at 10.5. I bet him at over 10.5, over 11.5. Now he sits at 13.5. Frankly, I think his number should be closer to 16.5, as the Raiders are the favorite to draft him right now. With Parsons, there's a couple issues. One is there's off-field issues, both reported and not reported. You know, it's not just the hazing thing. There's multiple fights. There's, you know, putting someone in a hospital. And I understand that happened 2 years ago when he was 18 years old, but he's 20. Right, like you have four fights and the other stuff, it starts to be an issue. He's a freak athlete, but yeah. One concern is that he's a better athlete than he is a cover guy. And the other one is that he doesn't play a premium position, right? And guys who don't play a premium position tend to fall down the draft. And, you know, you look at what he's got to do to go top 12, he's got to go ahead of at least one of the quarterbacks probably, right? We got five quarterbacks. We got three blue chip guys in Pitts, Sewell and Chase. They're all going top 12. They are, right? You got both corners in Surtain and Horn who are favored to go ahead of Parsons. You've got Slater who's got a 9.5. And then you have Waddle and Smith as well. That's how many guys is that? I think that's 13 already, 14 guys before you even get to that point. So that's one of the things about unders that you start to really limit your number of outs. So I think Parsons, between playing an off ball, when you look at all the guys he's competing, play with play premium positions and off field issues, like that's a lot for a guy to then go in the top 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question. I mean, again, you just laid it out perfectly, and that's part of betting the mock. What you write in the article, right? This is the way to bet it, and you lay it out just perfectly. I agree. I'm looking at the top 12 here, and I don't see them. It seems like a good bet in around 16. Is there any others? You mentioned long shots. Like, if you just hit one or two of these, I mean, it can make your weekend certainly worthwhile, right? You hit a couple of these long shots. Like, what's your favorite one off the top of your head?
I want to give you one that's still available. Okay. FanDuel is currently offering Najee Harris, first running back, Javonte Williams, second running back, Travis Etienne, third running back, exact order at 29-1. All right. Wow. So Harris has actually moved up since I did this math, but he's now minus 170, but he was minus 150, right, to be the first running back off the board. And then DraftKings is currently offering Javonte Williams plus 157 to go ahead of Etienne. And then if you look at ETN compared to the next closest guy, it's Trey Sermon sitting at a total of 80.5. ETN is 33.5. So I conservatively estimated that would be minus 1,000, right? I mean, I think you can make an argument that it'd be closer to minus 2,000 or 3,000, sure. But for the sake of doing the parlay, that's a plus 400 parlay. If you just take those odds and now you're getting plus 2,900. So like that seems absurd. So you say, Elliot, listen, the odds are bad on Williams. You know, ETN is 10 spots ahead of him. I think, you know, it's probably closer to plus 400. Cool. You know, if you made Najee Harris plus 100 to be first running back and Javonte Williams plus 400 to be second running back and you kept ETN's odds, because I'm not changing those no matter what scenario you want, unless you tell me that Trey Sermon's dad is now picking like 34th in the draft, right? Like, that's still plus 1,000. You're still talking about something that's 2,900 that just has no business being. A couple other long shots in terms of landing spots. I think Surtain to the Eagles is interesting because if the Cowboys end up going Horn, Surtain to the Eagles has a real possibility, and that's plus 900. And I think the Chargers are one of those teams. The GM has talked a lot about how important the offensive line is. Herbert's pitching them every day, trying to go up to get Sewell. 13-7 could make a lot of sense for a guy like that after they just prioritized signing a guard and they got one of the best centers in the league in Lindsey, right? They can go from one of the worst offensive lines to one of the best offensive lines overnight. And he's plus 1,100 to go to the Chargers. So I think, which I think is about an 8% implied probability. And I think they're probably closer to about a 1 in 5 chance that they would trade up for Sewell if he's there at 7. And they have the advantage over the other teams that I think might look to 7 specifically the Cardinals for a corner. And I think the Cardinals are more likely to go corner than receiver. And the Patriots for a quarterback because they're ahead of them, right? They're not 15 or 17. So they give the Lions a better chance to get a blue chip guy. So I'd probably put that closer to about 5 to 1 or 6 to 1 for Sewell there than 11 to 1. And to your point, like, hell no, I don't expect to win all of these, 6 to 1, 8 to 1, 12 to 1 bets, right? But I think I can have enough of them or win enough of them where I'm going to be profitable doing it. And you look at like an NFL game, 12 to 1 is like the Jets down, 14 points in the first quarter, the Kansas City Chiefs to get, 12 to 1 on the money line, right? Like it's tough to get that. This to me seems like a much more realistic scenario where you're getting those kind of odds.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, not to take a shot at your Jets, but they're down 14-0 early, the Chiefs. You're not going to get that. You know what? Dallas, too, is that team that we've talked about this trading back. Like, who knows, right? If New England trades up, Dallas, because I know the Eagles and I follow this team very closely, and who knows what they're freaking thinking, man. But Surtain is a guy that they're definitely interested in, right? Like Horn. I think that they do go corner. And I feel like that's part of the reason they traded back is because. Yeah, it's nice. They need wide receivers. They need a lot of help. But if they can get them, a top corner in this draft and maybe attack the wide receiver position later, because let's be honest, they have not been able to hit wide receiver, right? They passed on DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin, and then last year, Justin Jefferson. So maybe they should just pick wide receivers a little bit later on.
I had Justin
Hopefully they
Jefferson
get
at
one.
+800 to go to the Eagles last year.
Oh my goodness. As a
And I
Philly
was
fan,
like,
it
oh my
still breaks
God.
my heart, man.
He was there at 19, and I'm like, this has to be the pick. Like, it
Yes,
has to,
has to be.
right?
I thought so.
And then the
And the
Vikings,
Vikings thought
meanwhile,
so too.
Vikings were literally laughing at them.
I know. I get
And they
that clip
tweeted it
sent to
out
me almost every
afterwards.
couple of weeks. Yeah, they tweeted it out. A buddy of mine who knows, I've seen the video. I'm a Philly fan. I've seen it. He sent it to me again this past week, and he's like, thoughts? It's like, yes, the video is awesome, but it bothers me, okay?
Yeah, that was a big
Completely
oops.
that clueless, a huge oops. Anything else? If for I guess five quarterbacks, I would assume no more. You wouldn't take the over on five, right? Just maybe take a shot on one of those guys to be a pick in the first. I think better odds.
No, don't do this, okay? So I'm actually really glad you brought this up. I parlayed no quarterbacks in the first round. Or sorry, no quarter. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I parlayed the under 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round and Kamaru Usman. The Usman, honestly, I think was a bigger sweat than this is going to be. You look at the QB6 average, right, across the NFL draft of the last 5 years. You're talking about pick 100. None have gone top 75 in the last 5 years. Only one quarterback that's quarterback six off the board this century. This century,
Wow.
right, has been a top 40 pick. Like every
Wow.
year we do this, it's Bryce Petty, it's Davis,
Yeah.
and then these guys go in the fourth round. I think that
Yeah.
one of the best ways to bet is bet Davis Mills over, bet Kellen Mond over, and bet Kyler Trask over. Because you look at the ADP of these guys, it's like 100, 120, and 140 for QB 6, 7, and 8 off the board. So you're most likely going to hit three, but you're very safely going to hit two, most, you know what I mean? In terms of just historical 21-year data trends. I don't think you're going to see a quarterback sniff the second round. But if you do want to take the over, the one is that the line has moved heavily against you. It was -400 this time last week. It's all the way up to -750 now. So it says that like it's probably not going to happen, but you're right. Like if you are convinced that this Davis Mills thing is real and he's really going to go round one, bet him at 1300 as opposed to the other options.
Yeah. Like you said, we got that article in there, the NFL draft tier two quarterback bets, where you touch on, four or five in there as well. So again, this is all free content, people. I really like ETN, but I like where you were going with that bet. I think that's a strong bet. Why not, right? The long shot there. I
It's
think
not that I've actually heard Javonte Williams is really, really, really high on a certain team's board at the end of the first round that would send draft Twitter like into a frenzy.
Who would that be?
All I'm going to say is that a lot of people would say their quarterback is the greatest of all time. And you've actually seen their prop to draft a running back drop from +800 to +500.
Yeah.
And I've heard Javonte Williams is their guy. Now, I don't. I think ultimately Etienne will go ahead of Williams. Like I do,
But not in the
but
first?
I think Harris will go in the first.
I
I
think
think
Harris will
Etienne
too.
is a fringe first rounder. Again, you can start saying what team is going to pull the trigger. I just think it's one of those situations where if you tell me the parlay odds are 4-1 and you're going to give me 29-1, like how do I not take that bet?
Right.
Because Harris is now like this is absurd, but like he's the most consensus player outside of the top five mock to a team in the last 2 weeks, and that's the Pittsburgh
The
Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that too obvious of a play? I know that they haven't been great on the ground over the past couple of years, but they just don't typically seem like, I feel like they're a franchise that gets it. I don't feel like nothing on Harris. I love him. He's going to be a great three down back in the NFL. And he is my favorite prospect among running backs. But do you think, like, yes, that they would do that?
I think they could. I
Yeah.
think they could. Honestly, I think one of the more likely, I think one of the scenarios that people don't talk about, and I'm actually glad we got to touch on this, is like people are like, well, Harris is between 25 and 30 right now on the prop lines, or it opened at 30, it dropped as low as 24, now it's 25 and a half, right? And people are like, well, who's going to take him in that 26 to 27? Like, what if the Dolphins trade back? What if the Ravens say,
Right.
okay, I want to trade up, and now the Dolphins are there? You can't always just look at the board and just assume that those are the only teams there. So I think that's a really important thing to pay attention to as you look at totals in the teens and 20s and beyond that. I think Harris's most likely landing spot is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if they're going to do it. I've heard the argument that they don't spend a ton of draft capital on running backs. They did on Mendenhall in 2008. Right, they spent a second round pick on Bell, and I know that's not a first round pick, but that's not nothing either. Bell
Right.
also wasn't the prospect Harris is. They kind of let Bell rock for a while, and then they spent a third round pick on James Conner, who they then let rock for a while. Should they draft an offensive lineman? 8 billion percent yes,
Yes.
right? Like it's to me, it's not even complicated.
Yeah.
Will they? I don't know. And the other
Yeah.
question is there? This is the other thing is what if there's a run on offensive lineman? What if? Darius Shaw and Vera Tucker go 13 to the Chargers and 14 to the Vikings right now, which is very commonly mocked, right? And let's say now Tevin Jenkins gets pushed up to the board to the Raiders at 17. Colts and Bears and Jets are all favored, or the Colts and Bears are favored at drafting offensive linemen. Dolphins are kind of heavily, they don't have those odds, but they're heavily mocked to draft an offensive lineman at 18. And the Jets need offensive line at 23. What if the top six or seven guys are off the board for the Steelers at 24? Like, am I going to take a second round offensive tackle that I don't necessarily feel great about? Or am I going to say, we've always gone this workhorse guy. I really think
Yeah.
it's Najee Harris. Like, that's also where you got to think about a lot of these teams having some of those old school mentalities.
Right. Yeah. Teams that I think, obviously Pittsburgh back, Miami, Jets, I don't think either of those latter two teams will address the running back. And my buddy watching right now is saying, yes, Buffalo Bills, but I want ETN because he's a big Clemson guy. I think Twitter would explode with that one too. All right, man, we'll get you out of here on this. Just any more final words, any more, one bet or pick that you just wanted to get off your chest to tell the people?
Yeah, I'll give you one that I just don't understand. Amon Ross St. Brown. While his name is annoying, his prospect profile screams day two. He's 67 on a consensus big board for The Athletic. His prop line is 98 and a half, which is basically the last pick of the third round. It
Wow.
makes no sense. You look, he's an early declarer with he was an 18-year-old breakout candidate. He had 22% market share last year. He was coming from a big time school. Like everything. He's most commonly mocked in the late second, early third round. Like, I think this line is 30 spots off.
Wow.
I just don't understand it. So I've put a couple units down on Brown or St. Brown under 98 and a half.
All right, good stuff. Yes, lots of content over at ftnbets.com. It's going to be a fun week. It's going to be I didn't even tease this off the top of the show. We're going to be together Thursday and Friday. We're going to have live coverage, FTN streaming live throughout the draft. Elliot will be checking in. We'll have Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe checking in, myself and Derek Brown will be there with you throughout the entire first three rounds of the draft. There's going to be so much content being pumped out over at FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com. So get in on all the goods. I will pump it one more time, but the betting guide, $19.99, FTNBets.com/pricing, and the extensive NFL scouting guide. It is awesome stuff. Jeff Ratcliffe put a lot of work into that. FTNFantasy.com/pricing. Elliot, appreciate it, man. Only a couple more days, man. Only a couple more sleeps, and we'll be in our glory watching the football draft.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go through withdrawals when I wake up on Monday morning without, you know, draft lines to check for the first time in 8 months. But I'm pumped, man. I can't wait for the show Thursday. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, as always, man, Mean Streets is top quality content.
Yeah, appreciate it. We got top quality guests for sure. Give Elliot a follow at Elliot Chris and myself at Chris Meany. Thanks as always for taking the time. You got any questions, leave them there in the YouTube section or hit us up on Twitter. Elliot is great at responding to some stuff, but again, a lot of free content. So take advantage of it and hopefully you enjoy the draft. We will talk to you guys soon. Cheers.